All right, so I have a big disclaimer, and that is I am not a man. I've never been a man. I don't know what it's like to be a man. And when you're presenting on mental health issues and you're a woman, it's a little tricky. But I'm a daughter and a sister and a partner to men. I have three sons, and I have many, many male friends and colleagues, so men's mental health matters to me greatly. Good evening, I'm Sally Spencer Thomas. I'm a psychologist by training. I'm the CEO of the Carson J. Spencer Foundation. We are an international suicide prevention organization based in Denver, Colorado. And we work to find gap-filling ways and be entrepreneurial in our approach to prevent suicide. I'm also bereaved by suicide. Carson was my brother, a 34-year-old businessman from Denver who happened to live with bipolar disorder and took his own life in 2004. In the aftermath of his death, our family and his friends decided that there was a whole bunch of things we didn't know about this and that we were going to find innovative solutions to it. And unbeknownst to us, I had been in the field of mental health 16 years at that point. My brother was absolutely the prototypical person to take their life. White, male, working age, diagnosable mental health condition, substance abuse problem. And yet at that point in time, very few efforts were taking place to reach that demographic. Lucky for us, came across our partners here. Cactus Marketing is a full-service advertising agency in Denver, Colorado, and one of the things that mental health, suicide prevention, public health, we all do pretty poorly is message in an effective way. So partnering with a full-service marketing advertising agency has actually been an incredible, effective way of reaching people that we have had trouble reaching before. Our other partner is the Colorado Public Health and Environment Group. Jared Heineman has been at this conference, but I think he's on a plane back to Denver today. And the three of us, a public-private nonprofit partnership, have really worked some magic to create this campaign. We got together in 2007 and looked at the data, looked at other kinds of campaigns to reach men, conducted focus groups, surveys, and I had the real honor and privilege of doing a significant number of interviews with men who had survived their own suicide attempts and were now thriving. We funneled all that data, and I'm not going to present all of that, it's a whole different presentation, but I just wanted to hit a highlight to help inform us in developing this campaign. We asked, you know, many different types of questions, but the results came up in similar fashions, and that was what the men told us would work for them were models of vicarious, credible men who had survived their attempt or who had gone through a period of suicide crisis and were now thriving, and the many different roadmaps that they got to get there. They said they didn't have any role models when they were in their suicide crisis, and so they didn't have a lot of hope that they could get to their other side. So role models were one. Number two, they said that they did not perceive their distress in a mental health framework. So for all of the efforts, if you're depressed, men get help, they weren't reaching these men. And the men that we were really looking at were what we call double jeopardy men, men with a number of high risk factors who were also least likely to seek help on their own. They were not seeing their distress and despair through a mental health framework, so we needed kind of a different set of tools to reach these men. There are several other findings, but the last one I want to hit from that is that they told us that humor would work in reaching them. And we thought, oh my gosh, like suicide prevention is not hard enough, and now we've got to make it funny without, you know, offending a whole bunch of people. But luckily, the Cactus group was like, okay, we're on it, and they came up with the following campaign called Man Therapy.
Did you know that men have feelings, too? No, not just the hippies. All of us. Hello, I'm Dr. Rich Mahogany. Welcome to Man Therapy.
Man Therapy is the story of a campaign that started in Colorado, but went on to spark discussion across the U.S. and around the globe. We were hired to help reduce the suicide rate for working-aged men in Colorado. First, we had to address the cause of suicide, mental health issues, anxiety, anger, depression, substance abuse. Our mission was clear, preempt suicide by helping men before they are in crisis. So we used humor.
Yoga isn't just for yuppies anymore.
And a manly man's approach to get men paying attention. Man Therapy is hosted by Dr. Rich Mahogany, a fictional health professional who's part doctor, part football coach, and part drinking buddy.
Men have a way of doing things. A man has his way of eating, of exercising, and of
Man therapy takes the stigma head on, educates about mental health, provides assessments, and gives men the tools and resources to fix themselves. Before we knew it, mantherapy.com started receiving visits from around the world. We took advantage of the momentum and sent out man therapy kits to media and therapy pros. They praised our novel approach and helped us spread the word even further. Health departments from other states started inquiring about adopting the campaign. And then we got another call from Down Under.
I'm Dr. Brian Ironwood.
Beyond Blue, a health promotion charity, wanted to bring man therapy to the millions of Aussie men battling the same mental health stigma we see here in the U.S. And so was born Dr. Mahogany's brother from a uterus down under. Man therapy has received more than 200 million impressions globally. And here in the U.S., more than 60,000 men have participated in the 18-point men inspection.
You don't get this without putting in the work.
Dr. Mahogany and the Man Therapy campaign have proven that when it comes to tackling the tough issue of men's mental health, using humor gets serious results.
All right, so that's the gist. And we launched this campaign in summer of 2012 with an article in the New York Times. So right out of the gate, we got quite a bit of traction internationally on it. But it raised a ton of eyebrows in the public health and mental health and suicide prevention community. They're like, what are you doing? This is really provocative and a little offensive, and we're not quite sure. Maybe it'll do some harm. So forth. So we spent, at the 18-month mark after we launched it, we did an internal evaluation, and then we subsequently had that followed up by an external qualitative evaluation. And we are poised to do a randomized control study in the next 6 months. But I just wanted to give you some preliminary feedback to reassure folks that, indeed, it's working as we had hoped. So at the 18-month mark, we had about 400,000 visitors, and today about over 400. And the return rate is 20%. So what that means is, this is, for most people, it's a one-stop shop. They come to the website. We have a number of external-facing media. We have television PSAs, radio, bus shelter staff. You saw quite a few of them. And what actually happened in the advertising world is that people were so enamored with the really compelling nature of this campaign that they donated tons of advertising space. So we got free PSAs on TV. We had billboards up all over Colorado that when they didn't have vinyl to put up there, they would repurpose ours. And that really helped drive a lot of people to the website portal. So all this external facing media is driving men to this website portal, and when they go into this web space, it's like they're stepping into a virtual therapy session. So you, as you can see, it's Dr. Mahogany's office, and you can turn around and all the walls are interactive. So it's not your typical mental health website at all. There's no rows and columns of warning signs and risk factors. It's very much engaging the visitor. But it's really a one-stop shop, so they come in and only 20% come back. The average time on site, if any of you have ever had any website analytics training, you know that 6 minutes is an eternity for an average spent time on a website. Usually 30 seconds is pretty good for people. So we know that people are coming to the site, they're poking around, they're looking at the videos, they're engaging with the assets. When they get to the website, our main goal for their experience is for them to complete this 18-point head inspection. What we did is we took standardized tools that screen people for depression, anxiety, anger, and substance use, and then we mahoganized them. That is the verb that we've coined. We've mahoganized them. So we took the standardized questions like, how many hours of sleep are you getting a night? And we put it in Dr. Rich Mahogany's voice. Koala bears sleep 20 hours a night. Lazy little bastards, how many hours do you sleep? So all of these questions then cultivate a response where they're rated higher, medium, or low risk on these different areas. So 18 points is a lot of questions to persist through. And today we've had almost 80,000 men complete that 18-point head inspection. It's one of the best tools that we have. Once they get their report, it drives them, it kind of triages them into self-help tools, peer support tools, professional help tools, and crisis tools, and so they automatically get sent to a space where they're going to be matched by the level of care that's probably most appropriate. Over 22,000 people have accessed the crisis. I don't know if you saw in the little clip, but there's a little red phone in the corner of the website, and that little red phone follows the person as they travel around the website, so it's always there. And he instructs them that if you're in crisis, if you come up high on your screening tool, you need to call that red phone. And you click on the red phone and all these crisis resources come up, including the Lifeline, Crisis Chat, Veterans Crisis Chat, so we added the Veterans Crisis Chat later in our implementation, and that's the number from 18 months, so it's significantly higher today. And then we're also interested because we know from men's help seeking literature that most men actually end up in a care situation, in mental health care in particular, because they've been referred there by someone else, most often their primary partner. So we wanted to make sure that people who were worried about a man in their life had some information as well, and over 20,000 people who are worried about someone have also participated. So our outcomes show we have a number of places on the website where we are gathering data. We have a pop-up survey that comes up at critical junctures in the website. So after they complete the ACPL head inspection, after they need some of the testimonial videos of men telling their stories, real men telling their stories of recovery, they'll get a little pop-up video that'll say, you know, was this relevant to you? Do you think you'll use these tools? We've had thousands of men, 7,000 or more, on most of those pop-up questions. We also have an in-depth survey that men can fill out that's at the bottom of the website. It's a little hard to find. But we've had about 500 folks fill that survey out. And so what those data tell us is that the campaign is attracting the demographic that we're hoping to attract. 80% are male. They're in the demographic of age range that we're trying to reach. About 10% are military. And about 40% are there because of me. We were also interested in that number because it got so much attention in the suicide prevention field and the mental health field. We're like, well, the only people who are going there are the people who are curious about what's going on. But no, 40% are there because they're worried about themselves, and about 8% are there for a friend or family member. So would they recommend it? Yes, they found it was relevant. They would recommend the whole campaign to a friend in need. They were more likely to seek help because of their experience. They found the 18-point head inspection very useful as a way to kind of sort out how bad is it. That was also something that came from our needs and strengths assessment, is they just wanted to do in the privacy of their own home, get some sense of how bad it was before they went out and sought help. They were very satisfied with the tools that we gave them, and they were inspired by the stories of hope. We also had an open-ended question. What was one thing you really liked, and what was one thing you'd really wish we'd change? Of the one thing that they really liked, humor came out, that the level of humor was a good fit for them. They also liked the quality of the site. They liked the engagement of it. They liked the level of production of it. Again, we really stink at really creating compelling messaging in fields of health. And so partnering with for-profit or agencies matters greatly. They liked the manly touch. They could identify with Dr. M, and they were reassured by their experience. Then we said, what didn't you like? Number one answer, nothing. There was nothing I didn't like about it. Number two answer, there was technology problems. And yes, when we first rolled it out, we didn't have a mobile site. There were bandwidth issues. We fixed almost all of these technology problems. So number two is wiped out. Number three, they wanted more. Can you make one for women? Can you make one for gay men? Can you make one for college men? That's also not really a complaint. That's a compliment. 7% were offended. We were not surprised by this number. We thought it was going to be a little bit larger. And when we trace back the answers, it seems to us that most of that 7% are mental health professionals and what I call enlightened men who are very engaged in the men's movement, who feel like the stereotypes that we're presenting are a step backwards, and I can appreciate that. We also are very intentional in using those stereotypes to make sure that men know that they're not working. So here's some quotes about the humor. The use of humor with this topic is incredibly important. The last place a person struggling wants to go to is a sterile site that sucks out the last bit of dignity. About the accessibility of it. The relaxed, non-confrontational nature of the site, like a friend saying, hey, come on over, we'll shoot some pool and chill out. The sense of acceptance and camaraderie. The relating to Dr. Mahogany. The gentleman talking to me through the site was a very welcoming addition. After the survey, his calm yet concerned voice was very reassuring, even if it was a pre-recorded speech. In a sense, it helped me calm down long enough to think straight. The only thing greater than Dr. Rich Mahogany's dry wit and wonderful sense of humor was his response to my head inspection results. I received a pretty awful score, and the warm, confronting, and concerned response I got was perfect. And then I love these quotes because it talks about the experience and how it was relieving and reassuring. He took the guilt away from asking for help. Your site is the first one I found that helped with the loneliness of depression. Sure, the jokes were cheesy and the stereotypes abundant, but tonight I needed to talk to someone more than anything. Dr. Mahogany helped in that regard, even if I already was too educated for my own good going into it. It made me feel better seeing an empathic face, even if it was pre-generated. Manly, I was upset about some stressful problems, got a laugh out of this, and it gave me this perspective. And then a couple comments about the stereotypes. There are a lot of reinforcing stereotypes in the tips and verbal segments, and I think we're sidestepping some important problems by not acknowledging that a man can be French or like spandex and still be a man with problems. But I do understand why these stereotypes are drawn up. It's a quick way to let men know that this kind of stuff is socially acceptable and does not conflict with being a man. At first, I thought the use of stereotypes might be harmful, but that it was meant to be ironic and appeal to men who are most likely to avoid treatment. Keep up the good work. All right, in closing, I just want to share one more video with you. It's 1 minute long, so I'm in good shape. And this is an example of a compelling viral video that we put out there that has now won international awards, and you'll see why. Thank you.